Let's open our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. Okay, that's going to bother me. Sorry. Little OCD self. Okay. Nehemiah chapter 8. I got to get there myself. Hopefully we'll get the, there we go. Book of Nehemiah. All right. A little too far. Click, click. All right. So you remember where we left off in Nehemiah. Get there myself for just a second. And I might do something a little bit differently. Okay, so everybody have their Bibles or apps open? Okay. We left off, let me see. Oh, I've got so much writing in my Bible. Can I encourage you guys, though? If you do that kind of, if you don't feel, just make notes, underline, highlight, make notes in a notepad, make notes in your Bible, because here's what we think. We think we'll never forget what's being said. There's stuff that even I've preached. You know what? I know I preached it. It's in the back of my mind somewhere. I don't remember it. We have tremendous forgetters. So take the time, make notes, underline, circle, highlight, whatever you want to do. When God is speaking something, write a scripture verse down because it's important. All right, so we're going to do something a little different. I'm just going to read through the chapter, but I'm going to ask, and then we're going to teach it. There's 18 verses, and I'm going to ask you to do something that if you're disabled, you can sit. But if you're not, I'd like you to stand as we read God's word in Nehemiah chapter 8. Can you do that with me? Can everybody stand? And we'll just read it together, and then we'll go through verse by verse. All right? So Nehemiah chapter 8. It starts off in verse 1. When the seventh month came and the Israelites all settled in towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So the first day of the seventh month, Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it out loud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of all the men and women and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe, verse 4 says, Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for this occasion. Beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and some other people. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. As he opened it, the people all stood up. Huh? Verse 6 says, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, and a bunch of those people, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. Verse 8 says, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Verse 10 continues, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food, sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites, calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve. Verse 12 to 18, as we finish up, says, then all the people went away to eat and drink and send portions of food to celebrate with great joy, because now they understood the words that had been known to them. God bless you. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and Levites, gathered around Ezra the scribe again to give attention to the words of the law. They found in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim the word and spread it throughout the towns in Jerusalem. Go out into the hill country and bring back branches and olive and wild olive trees, and from myrtles and palms and shade trees to make booths, as it is written. And then verse 16 to 18 says, so the people went out and brought back branches and built for themselves booths or tents on their own roofs and their courtyards and the courts of the house of God and in the square by the water gate and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company, verse 17 says, had returned from exile, built booths and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites has not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Day after day, verse 18 says, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God, they celebrated the feast for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. So there you go. You may now be seated. So this is where we begin. In Nehemiah chapter 8. So Nehemiah had rebuilt this wall, had rebuilt the reestablished Jerusalem, and now the people had restored it, had revived it, and now they had protection, and now they had provision, and it was a joyous time for the people. In Nehemiah 8, 1 to 2, they're almost responding to this. They've been working hard. They've been getting enemy attacks continually. If you remember, they had to work with one hand with a trowel and the other on a sword and just to rebuild these walls of their city, of God's city. And then it says that all the people came together in the square before the water gate. It has nothing to do with, you know, our water gate. Anyway. They had rebuilt the walls, they had rebuilt the gates, they had rebuilt the doors, and they told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out that book of the law of Moses, which the Lord commanded for Israel. And so from the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up, of men and women and all that were able to understand. So there were teens there, young, old, didn't matter. Anybody who was able to understand. So this is a really neat thing. They're rejoicing in the Lord. They could have just gone about their work, ignoring God, but they didn't. They're getting together and they want to celebrate. And they want to celebrate by knowing the Lord more. It says that, for those of you who don't know, it says Ezra. And we haven't heard too much of him in this book of Nehemiah, but Ezra was a scribe. A scribe was a person who, they didn't have copier machines back then, so they would painstakingly write every word, every jot, every tittle, so that the word of God would be read and perfect. And he was also a priest of God. And he was actually used to rebuild the temple a few years earlier. He came back with that first group, and they rebuilt the temple and kind of started to help the people to start to worship God again. So he's the one, somebody was telling me they were reading the book of Ezra this week, and he's the one that's written about in that book of Ezra. So Nehemiah, with all his work rebuilding the walls and doing all this stuff, he's only continuing what God had put on Ezra's heart to begin with. And so this is a pretty exciting time. And I love this. They told Ezra to bring out the Bible. The people. It's not like Nehemiah's forcing it on them or even Ezra's forcing it. They're saying, hey, we want to know what God says. We want to get closer to him again. He's doing something in our hearts. He's doing something in our lives. We want to know, how can we obey him? How can we know him more? We want to know what to do. We want to grow closer to him. That's an exciting thing. And can I tell you what? Chances are, unless you were dragged by hook or by crook here, right? That's why you're here as well. You're wanting to know the Lord. You're wanting to serve him better. And can I say, if no one else tells you this today, thank you for that. Thank you. And if you're the coordinator that brings the husband or brings the wife or brings the kids or brings the friend, thank you for that. That shows that you love the Lord. That shows that you love others. It's a wonderful thing. And it shows that the Holy Spirit is already drawing people to himself. He's motivating the people. He's stirring the people. Nobody had to force them to come and hear the word of God. Nobody had to cajole them. Hey, I'll buy you a dinner if you'll come. I'll buy you breakfast if you just come to church with me. It's my birthday. Won't you please come to church? No, the Holy Spirit was already drawing. God was drawing people to themselves. And you know what? Can I just, for those of you who don't know, God is always at work around you, right? He's continually pursuing a love relationship with you that's real and personal. He is drawing you to himself. And that's an amazing thing, almost like a magnet. John 6:44 says this, you can always tell when God is working because I notice that people are drawn to him. And sometimes they can't even explain it. I've had people go, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't know. I guess I'll take the book. I don't even know why I'm reading it. I don't. It's because the Lord is drawing you. And that's a beautiful thing. Thank him. He's doing a supernatural work. He's drawing you. John 6:44 says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them like a magnet, and I'll raise them up on the last day. So listen, if you're here, God is drawing you with his heart through his spirit to be here, and he wants to speak to you. Now, I may be a little probably 70%, rough around the edges, talking. When I was making this sermon, I was like, oh, Lisa, I'm so rusty. I feel like and you know what? We're just going to trust that God's going to have something for you today, even anyways, even in my weakness. God is going to speak something to you because he's drawing you. He's bringing you here. You could have sat at home, right? It would have been more comfy for you, right? Less stress, less pressure, less anxiety. But no, you're here because you want to hear God speak to you. And I think that's amazing. And it says the book of law, again, that book of the law that he's talking about is the first five books of the Bible. So they're reading through God's word, just like we're doing here today, right? And it's pretty amazing. And it says that they came together as one to hear the word. Again, this shows that God has a purpose for us meeting together as a body to go over the word of God. Now, I know this isn't popular, okay? I get that, what I'm going to say. But he does have that purpose for us meeting together to hear his word taught together as a congregation, as one, as a body. And people will ask me these things like, hey, can I just watch online? Or can I just do devotions alone? Or can I just attend a Bible study? And all those things, my answer is resolutely yes. Absolutely you can do that. And I want to encourage you, you should be doing that. You shouldn't just be coming here Sunday. You should be doing devotions. You should be getting alone with the Lord or getting involved in a little Bible study. Listen, it's important to get the more of the word in you because the world is throwing stuff at you continually, right? They don't. Anyway. So the word is, it's absolutely, yes, you can watch online. And we've got some wonderful people. I'm going to speak to the people online that watch us online live stream and then watch us later on in the weeks. They watch us online. We get donations from them. It's really wonderful. Wonderful comments from people. Most of the time, wonderful comments. but with that being said, it doesn't take the place of meeting together. Okay? So yes, absolutely, you can watch online. Sometimes, you know, we have some folks that are too elderly to come. They're not able to drive. They don't have transportation. They're too sick. You know what? You can watch. But you know what? It's not an excuse to not come in and meet together as one. I know it's not popular. Listen, it would be so much easier if I could just sit on my couch, put my feet up. I don't even have to get out of my jammies. I could just watch Pastor D on the TV. Blippity-bloppity-blue. I hear his sermon. And I go about my day, all from the comfort of my own home. Now, can I tell you what the problem with that is? That's all about what I want. But I'm anxious. There's going to be a lot of people there. And, you know, sometimes at one time, Martha wasn't nice to me. And this person, I didn't like how they talked to me. And I think everybody's judging me. And I wore a blue shirt and nobody liked it. And somebody yelled at my kid at the playground. I just don't want to be around these people. Listen, these are real things that people go through. I'm not mocking them, right? I'm simply saying we can come up with some wonderful excuses to do what we want to do instead of what God tells us to do. Listen, they met together as one on purpose. God tells us this in his word, and this is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Listen, we could put up a little wall in front of our door. I love you guys, but I'd be just happy just to stay at home. It's safe there. Nobody attacks me there. You know what I'm saying? But is that what God calls me to do? The answer is absolutely not. He says, and let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Listen, there's something that happens when we get together. Sometimes Chris will say something that's annoying to me and I don't like it. But then sometimes Chris will say something to me that really blesses my heart. And as somebody said, hey, can I just pray for you? Or you know what? Just seeing a smiling face, I love it. All right, this is kind of a dumb thing, but okay, so I was just sitting here. Somebody went behind me. I do the same thing. Like, I'll beep the horn, scare people. Or somebody went behind me and gave me the little zoop, you know, right? Look! You know what? I love that. There's a certain kind of, when I say I love that, I have a hate love, but it's fun to me. Listen, sometimes seeing your faces here blesses my heart. Sometimes you seeing other people encouraged in the Lord will encourage you, yes? So it's not about you. It's not about what you want. It's what God says. Don't neglect meeting together, coming together, study the word together. Don't do that, as some people do, but encourage one another. So it's also telling me that there's a purpose for you getting together. Listen, when you're young in the Lord, you just come and you plop down and that's all there is to it. But God is saying, I have a purpose for you. The more you grow in the Lord, the more I don't just want you to plop down. I want you to start serving in some way. I want you to start encouraging your brothers, encouraging your sisters. Oh, but I don't know if she's nice. I don't know if they're nice. Maybe they're going to be mean. I get it. Maybe they are. But you know what? Maybe they're not. And maybe if they are mean, maybe you're the person that breaks through that little barrier that can show them God's love. Who knows? But you come with a purpose. In fact, why don't you try this when you come to church? Lord, on your way, I'm just driving. Lord, help me to have the right heart attitude. Help me to encourage somebody at church today. Whether it's a listening ear or praying for them or serving them or being a blessing to them in some way. Let me get out of my comfort zone and make it all about me and make it all about you. How can I bless your people today? Help me to do that in some way, Lord. I bet you things would change. I bet you would be a vessel for that change. Something to think about, huh? Listen, I made two scripture pictures for this. So it says, and let us not neglect meeting this. You're a puzzle piece. Listen, you might not understand. A lot of times people don't. But you're a piece of the puzzle. God has called you here for a reason. He has a plan and purpose, putting us all together, building his kingdom. Realize that now and just give it over to him. What can I do, Lord? How can I be a part? How can I help grow what you're doing here? It goes on to say, all who are able to understand. Now, this tells me that God's word is for everybody. It doesn't matter here if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're male, female. It doesn't matter if you're educated, non-educated, your socioeconomic status. Maybe you're influential. Maybe you've got zero followers on Instagram. Maybe you've got 10 billion followers on Instagram. I have no idea. But the bottom line is we all need God's word, because that's the only thing. And I've been doing this for many years. Can I tell you? This is what I've learned. Sometimes I can tell stories or jokes. That people will love you 1 minute and hate you the next. The bottom line, the only thing that really transforms a life is the word of God being given and received in hearts. That's what's going to transform a life, right? The Bible says in Romans, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your heart, by the renewing of your mind. That's why when we go to church, the word should be what we look for the most. I get it. There's lots of other things. Hey, there's no coffee bar. There's no, you know, whatever. The main thing we should be looking at is the word being taught. And it says, why read the word? This is a question. Why at the water gate? And that was just, it was a gateway into the city, right? It was the entryway to get into God's city and into the, they came as one man and they stood by that water gate. And I could be reaching here. To me, it's symbolic. They're standing in front of as one person, right in front of the water gate saying, oh, just let me wash over me with your word, Lord. And I made the scripture picture and it just to me just encapsulates what the word of God does. Well, whether you realize it or not, that's what's happening. We have stinking thinking, we have TV, we have radio, we have news, we have online stuff, and we get contaminated. We get the dirt and the filth of the world on us, right? And we don't even realize it. We need to be washed with the water of the word continually. Does that make sense, everyone? Listen, even if you don't know it or realize it, this is what we need. Right? Oh, thank you, Lord. The shower of power. Listen, this is what it says, that they come as one man or one woman by the water gate, and they're letting the word just flow over them. And it's that he might sanctify and cleanse them. Listen, that's what he's doing as his word is going out. As if you're listening, if you're paying attention, it's sanctifying you. It's setting you apart. It's cleansing you. This is what he does. And it says with the washing of the water of the word. Just like, I don't know if you've ever worked on a car, but you come out with your hands greasy, you know, that black little, and you just put them under the spigot and you wash, and all of a sudden, oh, that's clean. That's what the word of God does. I actually made two scripture pictures for this one. I couldn't decide which one I liked better because they both give a great picture, but this is the second one I came up with. All right. It's refreshing. It's that living water. It's the word of God washes over you and cleanses out the dirt and the debris. It helps you to change your stinking thinking into God-oriented thinking. Does that make sense? And we need it now more than ever. It says that in verse 3, Nehemiah 8:3, that he read it aloud from daybreak to noon. See, you guys only get an hour. She has pretty, get off pretty. So they're talking about when the sun rises till noon. They're reading the word of God, right? And he faced the water gate, before the water gate, in the presence of men, women, and others who can understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. And what's the big deal? Why does he read the word of God out loud as a teacher or as a preacher? It's because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So whether it's an audio teaching or you're watching somebody online or here as the word is being taught, if you're receiving it, if you're listening, faith is growing in your heart. Little seeds are being planted, right? And somebody might, seed is being planted, maybe God will use Pastor Gary to water it, and somebody else will come along and fertilize it. You get the idea. You get the idea. You know what I'm saying. Anyways, so from daybreak to noon, that's like 6 hours. So I realize I teach a long time, which I guess pastor's like, you teach for an hour? Yep. Every week? Every week. We only teach about 15 minutes. Okay. We only teach about 20 minutes. We teach 30 minutes. Okay. Well, you know, so we're going to start teaching 6 hours? No. But from daybreak till noon. So next time you're thinking, you know, man, Pat, Pastor, I hope you would hurry up. Just think about this. Hey, it's not 6 hours. And it says, listen, right here, and all the people did what? Say it again, all the people. So here's the deal. Listen, right now. Greg, are you listening attentively? Good, you should. William, are you listening attentively? See? Are you listening attentively? Maggie, are you listening attentively, Sarah? Right, listen, I've sat where you're satin. I realize, our minds, satin, whatever, don't judge. Don't you judge me. But I have sat there, and so I understand our minds can wander, right? Right? It's easy. But we have to learn self-control. Help, Lord, help me to focus. Help me to stay on target. It's easy to sleep. It's easy to, well, hopefully it won't be too easy if I'm up here. But it says they listened attentively. That's our part. The word's going out. The Holy Spirit's already drawing you. He's empowering the word of God. It's going out. It's up to us, you, me, individually. Right? Pop Jones, Ezekiel, you have the choice. Nick, you get it, Bob? It's a choice. I can't do that for you. You have to. But Ecclesiastes 5:1 and Luke 8:18 talk a little bit about listening, how important that is. That's our part. That's our responsibility. Right? And we live at a time where the word of God is not prominent in churches. It's almost like we'll give everything else that makes people come and stay except for the word of God. And I think it's eroding the church at the heart. That's another story for another time. But Ecclesiastes 5:1 says this. Listen, guard your steps when you come to the house of God. So when you're coming to church, you're coming to this Bible study, you're coming to youth group, guard your steps. In other words, realize that there's an enemy out there who's trying to stop you. Now, that might be a flat tire. That might be a fight with your wife. That might be the kids just giving you, just want to rip out their hair. You've called them 20 times and they're still getting the shower. Ah! That might mean somebody's a knucklehead when they get here. That might, whatever it is, somebody cuts you off on the road. I'm sure that never happens to you. Oh, why you, Lord bless them. Whatever it is, guard your steps, guard your heart, guard your mind when you're coming to church because God's trying to give you a message. The enemy wants the words that are being spoken up here by me or Pastor Gary or whomever, Jonathan Bachman, whatever. He wants to take them and take them right away from you. Or have you not listened so they're not planted deep in your heart? Don't let the enemy manipulate you. Listen. Guard your steps and go near, the Bible says, to listen when you come to church rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who don't know that they're doing wrong. Let me just write a check. I got to go through the worship again. Okay. Let me just go through Pastor D, blah, blah, blah. The word. Listen, these are important. That word guard, when it's saying guard your steps, is shamar in Hebrew. And it means to watch. It means to guard. It means to protect your steps as you're going. Realizing enemy is trying to, your own self. We can be our worst enemy. Oh, I just don't want to go to youth group tonight. Oh, I just don't want to go to Bible study. Oh, I just. Listen, keep watch, guard, protect like a watchman on the wall or a shepherd over the flock. Also to observe or to take heed of self. So when as you're walking, as you're coming to church, Lord, help me to have the right attitude. I'm not going to take the bait with somebody arguing with me. I realize I can't find the keys, and now I'm so frustrated, I might as well just stay home because I'm going to be late. Pastor D is going to just guard your steps, guard your heart, guard your mind, and go near to listen. The word listen in Hebrew is shema, and it means to listen carefully. It means to hear intelligently. It has, the Hebrew word has an implication of not just hearing or attentively listening, but of understanding and even one more, obeying. So he's saying, come near to listen, to understand, to obey. That's why, do you know what? Even even when you're talking outside, when the sermon's going to start and you're talking outside or you're talking in the playground, you know what? Stop everything and want somebody be the mature brother and sister. Hey, you know what? Let's talk about this after. Why don't we come in and let's listen to sermon. Let's hear what God has to say. And then let's hear, and then we can talk afterwards. That's guarding your heart. That's coming here to listen. And when you come to listen, Lord, whatever it is, I want you to change me. Whether it's something you want to hear, and you're like, woohoo, amen, brother, high fives, or it's, oh, I don't like that. Come with a heart that just says, God, whatever you want. Now listen, he's telling us to go near to listen. Because there's an enemy out there that's, his whole goal is that you don't listen, that you don't obey, right? This is a little spiritual picture, I guess, of how I see it. Especially when it comes to the Word of God. Because if he can just stop you from listening, from understanding, from obeying the Word, you'll never get strong. You'll never get beefy in the Bible. You'll always be weak. And that's right where he wants you to be. The enemy does. God wants you to be strong. He wants you to understand. So Luke 8:18 says this. Says God says, so pay attention how you hear. Here's something you can do. God bless you. As a family or something. If somebody says, hey, that's a great message. Oh, that was a really good message. What did you like best about it? What? I remember listening to, it was Gail Irwin. I'll never forget this. Gail Irwin is a dynamic speaker. He's one of Pastor Gary's favorites. I like him. Wears suspenders. Anyways, he did such a dynamic speaker. And I was young in the Lord. I was at a pastor's conference in one of my first years ministering, and I was like, wow, like, was that a, that was a, such a, what a teaching, right? You know? And they said, what did you like most about the teaching of the Word? Well, he was really funny. Yes, he was. He was really good. He's funny. But what did you learn? What did you hear? You know, to my shock, I just heard the sermon. I couldn't remember. I didn't leave with one thing. It was embarrassing. The Lord kind of was like, how well were you listening? So you need to pay attention how you hear. Look, you can come here and hear me speak words, but are you really listening? Are you hearing what's being said? It goes on to say in this verse, to those who listen to my teaching, God says, more understanding will be given. So listen, you're paying attention. God's like, guess what? I'm going to give you more now. I'm going to pour it out on you. That's pretty cool. But here's the negative. You're not going to listen. But for those who are not listening, even this is a doozy, and I've seen this now over many years. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. After walking with the Lord for many, many years, and I've watched some people on fire for the Lord, and then they keep distancing themselves and distancing, I have watched this very thing happen to people. It's horrible. Even what they knew they understood or thought they understood, it was taken away. I don't want that for you or anybody else. Anyway, Nehemiah 8:4 goes on to say, it says, Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on the right stood, yes, a bunch of people. Yeah, don't judge. But men and women were in the crowd. But yes, you know what? And he had anointed men to be the priests or the just like he has for pastors. There's different roles. It doesn't mean anyone's less spiritual, but there are certain roles that we've been given. He wants men to be husbands and women to be wives, and it doesn't mean that one is greater or lesser than the other. They're just different. But it says that they built this platform for the occasion. So the first thing I noticed is they took practical steps so that the word of God would be heard and the outreach would have the greatest effect. That's why we do the camera. That's why we do the live stream and all these in the scripture pictures. You know, 14,000 hits in a month, visitors on that scripture picture website. That's pretty awesome. But, you know, we want to keep distractions to a minimum. Talking on phones. I've had people get phone calls in the middle of the ring, and then, oh, okay. Sometimes you have to take it. Maybe there's an emergency. Okay, let me go off. I'm going to talk. You know, excessive moving about. We all have to go to the bathroom, right? But you don't need to go to the bathroom three times, right? Or try to work it out so you go to the bathroom before. Or you know what? You want to get that coffee or donut? Maybe you get it beforehand. Or maybe if you want to talk to a friend, do you know what I mean? Maybe do that before. Not the whole during the sermon. Or if you have a game online on your phone. Oh, not that you would. But, or even, listen, even our tech guys. Okay, Brandon, George, I see you guys back there. You guys are amazing. Thank you for giving your time. I see Jason and, what was that? Romper, bopper, stomper, boo. Anyway, I see you guys back there. Romper room, that's what it was. Anyway, I see you guys back there. It's wonderful. But if there's a tech problem, are you like, hey, we can't, this is the website's not going. Shh, keep it down. You don't want to be a distraction to the people around you, to distract them from hearing the word of God. You know? And the more people that can focus and listen to what's being taught in the word, the greater chance the word is going to be received and then later acted upon. So that's important. Notice, too, that others stood beside him. I am so thankful for all the wonderful people who stand with me to ensure that you're being taught. On Sunday, it's everything that could always go wrong does. And we've got people, a greeting team that's wonderful. They're handing out prayer books out there to people. I love that. I'm so thankful for that. Or the children's ministry workers teaching the children so that they can be taught at their level. And the security folks making sure we're safe, computer people, video techs, the prayer teams beforehand, worship musicians, setup and cleanup crews, tithe counters, all these people. Just standing, working together so you can hear the word of God. It's really amazing. And Nehemiah 7:5-6 goes on to say, Ezra opened the book and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. Not because he was like, I'm above you all, just so that they could see and hear clearly. And as he opened up the word of God, all the people stood up, just like you did this morning. And Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands. Can I just say one more thing? Okay, they lifted their hands. Do you know that's okay to do in church? Did you know it is? Do you know, for many years I was like, what are these people doing raising their hands during worship? Well, why are they doing that? Pray, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Or I surrender, Lord. Help me, Lord. It's okay to raise your hands. Listen, you don't have to, right? But why not? You can do that. You can say, thank you, Lord. You can say, hallelujah. You can say, amen. You can say, praise the Lord. Don't be scared. And if the person right next to you doesn't understand it, well, they'll learn to understand it. And they worship the Lord even with their faces to ground. Now, sometimes I've seen that. Some people have come up and just put their faces to the ground and worship the Lord, and we just pray over them. It's a beautiful thing. They bow down, and it's wonderful. All the people stood up, and that's just an outward sign of what was already working in their hearts. Reverence, awe, respect for the Lord, and respect for the word of God, right? And it says the people responded. They lifted their hands, praise, prayer, surrender. They shouted amen. They were verbalizing their acceptance and agreement. They worshiped with their faces to the ground. They weren't thinking, I wonder if is Neely going to look at me weird if my face is to the ground? Listen, if you want to worship with your face to the ground, you want to stand up, sit, whatever, you just go ahead and do it. Because you're here for the Lord, not to please other people. And they did that because of reverence and awe. You know what? My wife, she's trying not to get sick with what I had, I think. But, excuse me. But it says, they worship with face to ground. My wife said when she was a baby believer that she always wanted to marry a guy who would just not be afraid to worship with their face to the ground. I didn't know this till much. And one time at a church service, I just went up. I just felt like the Lord was just heavy, and I was just like, Lord, I am such a sinner. How could you even be? And I just worshiped my wife. She's like, oh. Nehemiah 8:7 goes on to say the Levites, a bunch of them, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. So there were other people, other pastors, other teachers, so to speak, that were instructing the people. Now, this, I never put quotes from Chuck Smith. I haven't listened to him in many years, but this movie, The Jesus Revolution, kind of reminded me of him because I've listened to him for many, many years when I was a little believer and in Bible college, me and my wife. And this was one of his quotes towards the end of his life and his pastor. He said, the longer I am in ministry, the more I realize that it is not what I say that it's going to transform a person's life, but it's what God's word says. And here's a couple tips. When instructing others in God's word, the first thing we need to do, if you any of you are going to do that, whether it's children's ministry or Bible studies or pastoring, whatever, is to pray. And here's the reason why. The Bible's spiritually discerned. It's the Holy Spirit that grants us understanding. It's not just intellectually discerned. You can read the Bible like a dictionary and get zilch out of it. You really can. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man, right, doesn't receive the things from the Spirit of God. It says, for their foolishness to him. What? I need to be saved? What? I'm a sinner? I'm a pretty good person when I look at Neely, you know, or Gary, come on, you know. It's foolishness. Why do I need to be saved? It says they're foolish. Nor, it says, can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So, you know what? Every time you get here, you should pray, Lord, open my eyes, open my heart, open my understanding. Teach me what you want to teach me. Because what you're going to get from the sermon might be completely different than what she gets. Ask the Lord to do that because it's spiritually discerned. So, or can I tell you, just so you know, every time I get up here, every single time, 100% of the time, I'm praying that God would open up my eyes, heart, ears, and I'm praying that he would open up your eyes, hearts, ears, spiritually discerned. Not only that, the first thing is to do is to study when instructing others, to pray when instructing others in God's words, but second is to study. Don't be lazy. Take the time to study the word of God to the best of your ability. Listen, I'm not a scholar. Natalie said amen. No, she didn't. But I'm going to study the words to the best of my ability so I can bring it to you the best I can. And that's what the Bible says. So if you're teaching children's ministry, don't wing it. Don't study. The Bible says that. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Take the time. Study the word of God for yourself. Listen, Liz, don't just listen to what I say. Open that Bible for yourself. Start reading. Love it. Love it. Open Bibles on lap, highlighter. I love that. I didn't notice that. I just noticed that now. Good. Love it. The more I see that, the better. When you're teaching, remember that it's God that teaches. Do your best to study and present well, but then know that it's God who teaches. Listen, when I first would teach the word of God, can I tell you some embarrassing things? Okay, this is true. Because I always knew I could do better. I didn't. So in my earlier years, I would teach on a Sunday or whatever my teaching was. I couldn't get off the couch for like 3 days. I was like, oh my God, Lord, I forgot to say this. I should have said that. I didn't say this. What was I thinking? I answered this way. Oh, it could have been so much better. I blew it. I'm a terrible servant. I can't teach, Lord. Get somebody else. Send Aaron, you know. But it's really the Lord that teaches people. And he can use a donkey, I realized. So to speak, if he wants to. And so realize that John 14:26, it says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said. So remember, that's ultimately him that's doing the teaching. And finally, God will gift you. If God's calling you to help instruct or teach, he will gift or develop you to equip others. That's what he's done to me. And he says that, now these are the gifts Christ has given to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. He's given them to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I like these things here from David Guzik about success or failure if you're going to be a teacher or a pastor. He says, and these are four tips that I just thought were cute. He says, if the people leave knowing five helpful hints to a better life, but do not have a greater understanding of God's word, the preacher has failed. He said, if people leave having been amused by humor, entertained by anecdotes, or captivated by dramatic stories, but do not have an understanding of God's word, the preacher has failed. If people leave motivated to action or praying a prayer, but it's not based on a greater understanding of God's word, because it's God's heart, the preacher has failed. If people leave admiring the preacher, but do not have a greater understanding of God's word, the preacher has failed and will be held accountable to God. You know what the first thing, you want to hear the first thing God ever taught me, my first teaching I ever did? First thing, there's a verse that says, I think it was in James, I just opened to it. And it said, be ye not many teachers, for you'll be judged more strictly. Ooh, I'm going to take this seriously. So listen, it's important. Nehemiah 8:8 continues. It says, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that people understood what was being read. And I took a little, some notes from Chuck Smith on this because it was really sweet. It just reminded me of this. He would always do this particular Nehemiah 8 in a pastor's conference. I heard him do it multiple times. But this is what expository teaching, this is what we do. We're going through verse by verse. This is it right here. We're reading it out loud, right? We're giving the meaning of the reading. We're helping people understand. Here was a couple of points that he made. One, read the word. Enunciate the words clearly. If you speak too softly or if it's hard to understand your words, right, it's easy for people to lose interest. Also, it's very tiring when you're constantly trying to hear something or understand. Try to put a little life into your reading. I remember being at a pastor's conference with Chuck Swindoll. That's what he's saying. He's like, some of these preachers up here are teaching. So put some life into it. This is the words of life. I know it as the words of life. I know it transforms lives, right? That should be exciting. That gets me jazzed up, and I want you to know that. Get excited. Don't fake it. It's exciting. And don't just read words on a page, realizing you're reading the words of life. He says, give the meaning. Oftentimes the sense, he said, is very plain and explanation isn't needed, but many times it's necessary to put the scripture in context to make sense of it. And he gave some examples. I'm probably not going to go into that. But it says they caused them to understand. So he gave illustrations, just like Jesus would lay down parables to help explain the truth. That's my little honor to Chuck. Anyway, Nehemiah 8:9 goes on to say, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. So let me ask a question. Why do you think they wept, like, when they heard the word? Conviction. What?
Conviction. They were sinners.
They were sinners? Conviction? They found out they'd been doing wrong? Uh-huh. Yes.
They found out they weren't following as closely as they should be.
That's right. Excellent. All those answers. Excellent. That's right. They follow. They realize, Don, you said it, conviction. Listen, conviction by the Holy Spirit's a good thing. Can I tell you what? Many have told me how embarrassed they were by their tears. But can I tell you, when I see somebody in tears, I rejoice over it. Because to me, that's God working in their hearts. They listened to what was being said. They took it to heart, and they're applying it to their life. I'm too embarrassed. I couldn't come up. I know you said to ask for prayer. If God was, I just couldn't come up. I was so embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed at all. It's a wonderful thing. And I want to tell you something else. Too many churches only want to give the upbeat, positive message. And you know why? Because it fills seats. I get it. I want to do that too. I want to give everybody the high five, upbeat, positive. Wow, yeah. I love that. It's an encouragement. And God has plenty of encouragement for us all. He has plenty of positivity for us all. But you know what? God's word also corrects us and rebukes us. You can't just pick and choose what you want. That's not right. We must teach all of the word of God. To do anything less is deceitful. It's dangerous. You got to preach things that people don't want to hear sometimes. It might not be popular, but I'm responsible to God. And you are too. So that means you have to say the hard stuff too. And don't be afraid to do it because it's God's word. Does that make sense? Listen, that Bible is on fire and it's going to break through the stoniest, hardest hearts. It's not just all positive messages. High five, Aroonies. It's not. Some of it's hard and some of it's suffering. That's real life. But there is overcoming in that. There's joy in the midst of it. Right? Look, God just doesn't say, hey, listen, he says, preach the word because of all the positive stuff in it. Does it say that? No, it says, preach the word. This is from 2 Timothy 4:2. My poor voice. Be prepared in season and out of season. That means you're ready to go now or when you're not ready. And it says to correct, rebuke, and encourage. So encourage is part of it, but also correction is there. And rebuke is there. You know what? I don't want to tell people they're a sinner. I don't want to tell people they're doing it wrong because then they won't like it. Oh my goodness, so what? Let them know. If you love them, but do it patiently with careful instruction. Listen, Proverbs 1:23 says, listen, this is the result of when you're corrected or rebuked, when those tears, let it happen. He says, Proverbs 1:23, turn at my rebuke. Surely, if you will repent, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. That's why they were in tears. It says, surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. In other words, if you have that heart of repentance at the correction or at the rebuke or whatever he's speaking to you, right? He's going to speak more to you. Okay, that's the right heart, he says. Now I'm going to give you more. You don't rebel against me, he says. You know what I'm saying? And we proclaim all the word, not just passages that are fun. It says, Paul said, I haven't hesitated to proclaim the whole counsel of God to you in Acts 20:27. He goes on to say in Nehemiah 8:10-11, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy the choice food, sweet drinks, and send some of those who have nothing prepared. Hey, send food to everybody. This day is holy. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Even though you've been messing up, realize that God is rejoicing right now, and he's going to give you more because you're reading. He's going to teach you more. He's going to do more in your life. So listen, if you're feeling convicted about something, praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. Don't feel down. Rejoice in it. That means he loves you and he's teaching you. He disciplines those he loves, right? In fact, I would be worried if you're never convicted. That would probably say you have a hard heart. Or that says, I have a hard heart. And it says, the Levites calm the people down, saying, be still, for this day is holy. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink and to send portions of food to celebrate with great joy because they understood the words that had been made known to them. 13 and 14 continues. It says, on the second day of the month, the heads of the families, along with the priests, Levites, gathered around Ezra and the teachers to give attention to the words of the law. How long have I been teaching, Pastor? Yeah, 6 hours. No respect, I tell you, no respect. All right, then I'll finish that quickly. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns in Jerusalem. Go out the hill country, bring back branches of olives and wild olive trees and myrtles, palms, shade trees to make temporary shelters as it's written. So this is referring to the Feast of Tabernacles. And when they read it, they were like, oh man, we don't do that anymore. And so it was remembering how God had blessed and provided for Israel, even in the wilderness when they simply obeyed God's command. They're like, huh, we want to just simply obey God's command too. Let's do it too. Let's remember this. And so they desired to honor God by obeying his word. And it says in verse 16 to 17, so the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves temporary shelters for this Feast of Tabernacles on their own roofs and their courtyards and the courts of the house of God and in the square by the water gate and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company had returned from exile, built temporary shelters, and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this. And their joy was very great. And it says, day after day, from the first to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God, verse 18. They celebrated the festival for 7 days. And on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. So the joy of the Lord, even as they're being convicted, was their strength. And that's the beauty of the word of God. Last time I was up here, which was a month ago, we ended with these scripture verses. It's not all, do not love the world or the things that the world offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Maybe that's convicting to somebody here. If you know what, good. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God is going to live forever. That's what the word says. That's how we're to live. Listen, this is a positive message, but it's not really a woohoo. It's like, oh Lord, what does it profit a man or woman to gain the whole world but lose your soul? Or what are you going to give in exchange for your soul? What's that sin that you're holding on to that's so important that you're willing to trade it for your soul? Hopefully nothing. Whatever it is, ask God to save you. Because the Bible says whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel and for the word of God will save it. And I want you all to be saved. Does that make sense? Does everyone understand? Then thank you, Lord, because he taught you this morning. And let's take a minute and thank him. Father, I thank you that my voice made it all the way through this teaching, Lord God. I thank you for these wonderful, wonderful people who sat patiently for the 6 hours, for the hour teaching, Lord God. I ask, Lord, that you would give them, grant them understanding, encouragement, blessing, that something that was said here today would stick with them as they leave this place, Lord. Some scripture, some thought that came from you would be planted deep in their hearts and that would grow to produce fruit 60, 30, 60, 100 times, Lord. I pray a blessing on everyone listening online now and later on, God, and all these wonderful people here. May they never stop meeting together, but continue to encourage one another and gather together all the more as they see the day approaching. I love you, Lord, and we thank you together. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day in Jesus Christ's name.